There was nobody else more fitting for our International Women's Day as well as Women of Aviation Worldwide Week episode. Gosh, that's a bit of a sentence and a half, isn't it? Then our founder, Michelle Arnold, who, if you haven't already met or don't know, is my mama bear. You all absolutely loved it when she spoke in our first episode, and I can't wait for you all to be able to gain more knowledge and listen to her in today's episode. So our topic of today is all about battling self-doubt and rising up to inspire inclusion, which is the theme of this year's International Women's Day. I'm actually recording this episode on a Tuesday, so I still have all the fun celebrations of the week to come. Actually, this morning was a great start to the week. I went to my Pilates class. We had coffee catch up with the crew, which was well overdue. We haven't done that in so long, and it was so good to have all the girls come together in celebration of this week. And then tomorrow I'm on the early bird flight to Brisbane for the RFDS International Women's Day with the Queen herself, Georgie Somerset. I must be in the name or something, I don't know. I'm not the one who makes the rules. And then Thursday, Mum and I will be attending the Townsville Business Women's Circle International Women's Day Lunch, which is epic. They hold that every year at the casino. And I might just let us get into this episode because we can touch on all these events next week. I'm sure you guys want to listen to Michelle and everything she has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Aviatrix Airwaves. Please do not turn off your electrical equipment, which you are listening to this podcast on, and instead just sit back, relax, and enjoy as we are about to take off into this episode. Mum, it was on this day 6 years ago that you stepped into our family-owned and operated hangar, which at the time was just Townsville Helicopters and what is now known as National Aviation Academy, to simply just do the lunch and mail run as usual. But this day, as we now reflect 6 years later, wasn't just like any other day. It was a day where you really felt for the first time that change in our business and in the industry was needed. Can you take us back to International Women's Day 2018 and tell us what happened?
I can. So we'll recap because we have discussed it a few times, but I think it's really important to remember our why and why International Women's Day is so important to us. So back then, I wouldn't have considered myself an advocate. I wouldn't have said I was a capital F feminist. I definitely didn't believe in women's only networking event. I assumed that the only way forward was everyone had to work together, play together, get along, and really didn't think there was a problem. I thought everything was fine, our people I worked with were fine, everything was great, and refused to go to International Women's Day events, didn't believe in it at all, completely against the whole thing. And the whole day was just radio after radio and Facebook posts, just International Women's Day events here, all these different lunches, breakfasts.
So many celebrations that we've dived into this week already.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was just full on. And I wasn't working in the business at the time, but I often would pop out there at lunchtime, drop in the mail, say hello, see what was happening, and walked in and realised there was not a female there that day. No currently enrolled students, no members of staff, nothing. There was not a female. And we had had female students in the past. However, I thought as a whole, as the industry moving forward, there was obviously a problem. And it had to be at least discussed. So I felt really strongly that if not me, who? You know, we ran a flying school and we were ones that could at least encourage and promote and support women and girls into the industry. So I went home and your dad and I talked at length. And again, I didn't know where his head would be at in regards to this. And he said, you know, going back 20 years when he'd be out on the stations mustering or working, there were no female Jillaroos, none. Whereas fast forward to 2015, 16, 17, 18, all the camps were girls. Like all the ringers were girls, yet all the pilots were guys, and the girls weren't being encouraged to take that next step.
They weren't stepping up in roles.
They weren't stepping up and they weren't being encouraged to do so. And the feedback was very much, well, they're just going to go off and get pregnant and they're not going to be pilots forever, so why would we invest in them? You know, it's not a career for women. And it's really sad that I heard that is still being said to girls. I read about a young girl over on the other side of the country, and when she expressed interest in mustering, that was what she was told. And it really upset me that that is still happening today.
Mm-hmm.
So going back, we discussed it at length, and I just jumped in with 2 feet and registered the name Aviatrix, registered the brand name, set up an Instagram account and a Facebook page, and then did nothing with it because I had imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't working in the industry, even though I was an aircraft owner and we owned this business. I wasn't working in the industry, and therefore, whenever I found myself in a position where I could talk about Aviatrix, imposter syndrome just hit so hard. And that's why Aviatrix just sort of basically sat on a shelf with not much happening until you stepped in and had the benefit of not having imposter syndrome because you were a pilot, and could take it and run.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess to me it was always really important, and it was a really strong message that needed to be put out there, but I couldn't get past what I felt was my lack of ability to speak for the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, so as someone who wasn't technically employed in aviation, I mean, we know that you say you weren't employed, but you were an aircraft owner. You were well and truly there and very involved, as much as you like to say you weren't. You definitely were, and you were a huge part of it. So yeah, going back to starting that business, you already had your eggs in so many other baskets. Why did you really feel like you needed to push for this, even though you weren't, as we say, technically employed in aviation? You already had so much on your plate. Why?
I think it was because it was just so wrong. And you could see it. Like, there was no denying the imbalance in the industry. And the more I looked into it and researched and could see the global imbalance in the industry when there was no reason for it. It was just the fact that no one was telling young girls they could be pilots. And no one was even telling you could be a pilot at that stage. It wasn't something that was encouraged. And aviation as a whole was sort of a you know, not a sexy word at the time. to put it bluntly, no one was encouraging kids to go into aviation. And if we weren't encouraging 50% of the population to go into aviation, the country was going to be in dire straits. Where were our future pilots and engineers and operation managers coming from if we weren't talking to the kids? Mm-hmm. And Aviatrix was really about just having conversations and raising awareness. It wasn't anything that people would have to subscribe to or pay to be involved. It was really just a brand that people could be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to see young kids in an Aviatrix ball cap.
Yeah,
and
that's
people
funny.
People would go, what does that mean?
A conversation starter. Yeah, that's funny you say that, because I actually spoke about that on the socials this week of why we don't have membership fees. And I totally understand that other businesses do and they need it to cover the cost, because nobody can run a business for free, especially in this day and age. But if you are there and you're trying to, I guess, as the theme of this year's International Women's Day, inspire inclusion, but you are creating membership fees, how are you including the people who aren't even technically already involved in the industry? How are you going to inspire them if you're making them pay? No one's going to pay to be a part of a group for an industry that they're not even enrolled in yet. So, yeah, that's funny you mentioned that, because, yeah, we have been talking a lot about membership fees and why we don't have them here, and hopefully we'll push to never have them.
Yeah, I guess we're really in the fortunate situation that we are a company, and Aviatrix is just one of our brands.
Mm-hmm.
And people do confuse us. They assume we're a not-for-profit or an organization, and those not-for-profits do need to find funding, and sometimes that is through a membership base.
Again, so totally understandable. Every business or company has their different ways of surviving in this day and age.
So for me, Aviatrix was really just a brand that would raise awareness and spark conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm really glad at how our entire team has embraced that, and you know, every aircraft carries the Aviatrix logo, and you know, the guys often wear the Aviatrix logo on their shirts when they're doing corporate events. And it's, again, just a way of having that conversation and creating that real visual opportunity for inclusion. And it really warms my heart as to how far it's come and how everyone's embraced it.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back. We're reflecting on how far it has come, but obviously you needed to battle what we call imposter syndrome. I think I want to delete this word this year. I listened to Dr. Jo Lukens talk about it and how it's not actually a real diagnosis, and we've got to just put our big girl pants on and agree that we are just battling with self-doubt. So that's what we're going to use. So how did you overcome this? You know, 6 years down the track, the brand is still going. So clearly you've done something along the way to overcome this. Is it something that you still feel like you're trying to overcome? Is it something that you felt like you did? How did you get through it?
I think it's something we all deal with every day, is the self-doubt. Should I be in this room? Why am I in this conversation? Why was I invited to this event? Why do they want my opinion? None of us feel like we're a subject matter expert. And definitely when I'm having to communicate on lots of different levels about why our organisation versus another one, is really understanding, yes, what we do is important, and yes, we are different, and part of that is because of Aviatrix and the fact that we've made a conscious decision to promote inclusivity.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you do or tell yourself before you walk into those rooms when you're not feeling like the most confident queen ever?
Generally, I say this person is no smarter than me. They're just pretending as well. And the other thing I try to tell myself is, if it's not going well, is I don't know how that person's day started. Mm-hmm. You know, did the dog have explosive diarrhea? Did the kids throw up on their way to school? Did they have a fight with their partner? Like, usually if a meeting's not going 100% how you planned, either you hadn't planned for the meeting properly, so that's on you. It's maybe not the fact you didn't know it, you just didn't, you underestimated what you needed to bring. Or if you feel that other person isn't as engaged as you thought they were going to be, don't take that as a no. Take it as a maybe this just wasn't the right time for them to be hearing my message.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 times out of 10, you'll find out down the track that it was literally their day started badly and you were just a victim of that.
Yeah.
So that's how I tend to try and set myself up for meetings, is either be super prepared so I know my stuff. And I think you and I talked about that before, about how do you present to a room.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going off topic. Like, how do you stand in front of a group of people and talk about your subject matter?
No, well, it's not all off topic, because it is still on self-doubt and, yeah, feeling confident within yourself to step up and present and be the voice for what you believe in.
Yeah, and I think if A, you believe in what you're speaking about is important to you, other people will find it important. And B, if you're confident in what you're saying, there's no fear of getting up and speaking in front of 5 people or 500 people.
Mm-hmm.
If you know your story, then...
Yeah, but I think just flipping that as well, that respecting that everyone is entitled to their own opinion, and of course we're standing in a position where we are advocating for women in aviation or women in industry, and it's something that unfortunately not everyone agrees with, and as much as, you know, in our eyes that's not okay because we want to have a gender equal industry, it is their opinion, and some people will just never change their opinion. So again, going back to, yeah, as long as you 100% believe in what you are speaking about, then that's the best you can do.
Yeah, and not everyone's going to agree, but I think, you know, when you say, okay, this is how we feel about it, I try and make it real for them. Like, yep. Do you have a daughter? Do you have a wife? Do you have a mother? Mm-hmm. Have you ever considered that maybe she could do this job?
Yeah.
And if you make it real for them and bring it really close to home, you often see their perception change. And mm-hmm. I know that has happened personally on a few levels before, where guys have said, yeah, well, I don't want my daughter being treated like that, so I have to change my attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So dads having daughters is a good thing.
How do you think the whole industry is reacting to businesses like Aviatrix?
I think it at the beginning, they were probably a little bit threatened or afraid.
Nobody likes change.
Nobody likes change. However, I think the more they're realizing that a diverse group of employees brings a bit more of a balance, and sometimes that's needed, and different people do bring different qualities. I'm not going to go into the gender. You know, some people will say girls are easier on machines than guys. I'm not going to buy into that. You've just got different personalities, do different things, and the more you hire people that aren't like you, the better balance you're going to find.
Mm-hmm, definitely. That's the number one key of hiring staff, is making sure that they don't have exactly the same opinion, thoughts, beliefs as you, because you need diversity in the workspace.
That's right.
So for other businesses or business owners or even employees out there who want to see change in their industry and want to inspire inclusion but don't know how, what would you recommend to them to do as a first little stepping stone?
Well, I know what we did first as a company as a whole is we recognised the fact that there wasn't a balance. And we talked about it and we said, what were we going to do? So the really simple thing we did was we made a point of every time a prospective student called that was female, that we would make sure that that person got off the phone feeling that coming to our school was going to be a safe space for them, that they were going to be welcomed and encouraged. They weren't going to be treated any different than anyone else because of their gender, but they needed to make sure that we were fully invested in their success. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny. From the day we had that conversation, the guys would basically run up to me going, I just got off the phone call with a prospective student and it was a girl and I think she's going to sign up. Like, by just changing our perception and how we really made sure that we were going to be a safe space, changed everything. And, you know, fast forward, we're now at over 20% enrollment of female pilots. And some days it feels like more. Like, I think yesterday it actually felt like there were more girls in the hangar than guys. And it makes me so
happy. Tim, the other day when he was like, Aviatrix is just going so well. 4 out of my 5 flights today were all with females. He's like, that's never happened before. It's got to be up at like 60%.
Yeah. Like, so I think just the fact that, again, we're so aware of the importance, and there's not a day goes by that we're not aware of the work we're doing. And then now when we're in meetings with contractors and providers who are spruiking, you know, what's your female involvement and what percentage of your staff are female and what are you doing to bridge the gap, and we can say, well, we have this and we've been doing it now for 6 years. They're just, it's minds blown that we've taken that step. Mm-hmm. and we're actively advocating and supporting women into aviation. Mm-hmm. Makes me really happy to reflect. And, you know, going back, International Women's Day, I now know why it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And, 180-degree turn there.
Yeah.
Again, it's not, you know, we'll go into reverse discrimination, if you let me talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, go for it.
Because International Women's Day isn't about discriminating against men. It's about taking a day to understand that there are imbalances in lots of different places and what we can do collectively as a community to address underlying issues. You forwarded me an email with a article the other day about the
gender pay
gap in aviation, and I don't have this at verbatim, it's not word for word, but I really loved Rex Airlines' statement around what they're doing, and it's how I've always felt and was really aware of, but they put it into words so eloquently, and it was basically that they're mindful of reverse discrimination and will not enter into policy that will unfairly assist or advance the interests of a particular group.
And that's something
that we've been really careful with Aviatrix, is at no time have we wanted to you know, beat our chests and say women are better, that women should be advanced ahead of men, that there should be quotas.
Yeah.
I really don't believe in any of that. I think we can achieve true balance by just advocating and supporting.
Yeah.
That I don't think it should be a women versus men or, you know, we have to have quotas, because that is unfairly disadvantaging men. And I want to see a world where people are taken on merit for what they want to do.
Mm. And I love that you kind of speak on that as well, because I always talk about this with my personal story too, is my why isn't, you know, to beat down the history and, you know, all the negative things that have happened, all that stuff. It's to really bring people up and say, hey, the aviation industry was so welcoming and positive to me. And I know that's not just because, you know, it was a family business that I was training in. I know it's because there was genuine opportunities available and there was so much support there, again, not through myself, but peers as well. And I wanted other people to see that. And again, it's not just about, you know, changing that gap or focusing on the negative stuff and, you know, come here and you'll be much safer than anywhere else. It's because I truly believe that it is a positive environment and that we can make it that and make it a place for all. So Inspire Inclusion, the theme for International Women's Day, what does it mean to you?
It means exactly what I spoke about just a minute ago, which is it's our job to support and encourage everyone into aviation as a career, or whatever career they want into, not based on gender, race, sexuality, anything. Inclusion about making sure we give people the opportunity to be included in whatever it is they want to do. Mm-hmm. And for me, we all have to be aware of our biases and preconditioned beliefs to be open to stepping back and looking at a situation and going, is this right? Mm-hmm. And is there something I could do about it?
Mm-hmm. Let's do a full circle back to the first day to wrap this episode up. Is there anything you would like to tell yourself standing in the hangar on International Women's Day back 6 years ago, 2018?
Be bold.
Yeah?
Yeah, be bold. That if not you, then who? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a message we can all take, is, you know, it's the story, if I can save one starfish, then I've done my job. And I think, looking back then, it's being confident and knowing that, yeah, this is wrong and we need to change it.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to leave us with today? I feel like there's been so many good moments in here. I'm so glad we got it on record.
Oh, I'm starting to tear up. I want to say, Georgie, I'm really proud of you, because it has blown my mind what you've done.
Dale's not crying yet, are you? Let's finish the episode on a fun note.
On a fun note.
In travel chat. You've done a bit of travel yourself. Wife of a pilot. Is there any fun stories you have for travel chat today?
Oh. Maybe I'll just leave one with something people would never assume I've ever done.
Okay, go for it. Sitting, have I heard here, this?
I don't know, in 40 degree heat. That when I was 13, I had the opportunity to spend a week in a remote Inuit village in Baffin Island within the Arctic Circle. And I actually got to go out on dog sleds for a day and build an igloo. And it was just a memory that will stick with me forever, because it was so cold. And I'll explain to you so you can have a visual of how cold it was.
Oh, I don't think I need it.
We had lunch out on the ice, so we made hot dogs, and they boiled them in like a little fire out on the ice. And the first bite of the hot dog was so hot it burnt your mouth, and by the time I got to the third bite, it was frozen solid and I couldn't eat it.
Why would they serve you lunch out on the ice?
Well, I think to just show us how cold it was. So that's just one travel experience that will stick with me forever, because I was so blessed that it's not something everyone could do. I could regale you for years with travel chats of family holidays, because it seemed like my family growing up, every holiday was just something that made it a memorable disaster, whether it was going out deep sea fishing and getting caught in a storm and being green over the side of a boat for hours, or sitting, you know, in a hotel room watching tornadoes go past, or being on an island and the bridge being washed away and being stranded there. Like,
so that's where my unlucky holiday experience comes from, because I say that every time I go on a holiday, something just has to go terribly wrong, which is why we brought in Travel Chat, or but bad weather.
Travel Chat just makes a holiday that much more memorable. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't have one of those things happen on holiday, were you even away? Yeah, like, it's exactly. I don't know.
Send them in, guys. Send in your Travel Chat. We love to hear them. We love to laugh at them. And thank you for sharing your Travel Chats with us today.
Thank you. And I'm looking forward to celebrating International Women's Day with you on Friday.
Me too. It should be a good week. I'm very excited. Thank you for coming in the podcast again.
Thanks, Jude.